This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get to this week on the show. It was quite the eventful week in local and national soccer. Jeez. We have plenty to talk about with the women's national team. World Cup hopes on life support right now. I mean, they're through, but It was gnarly and not in a good way. So we'll get into all that. We will talk about Lionel Messi once again. Apparently just putting MLS defenses completely to sleep. And no one wants to play defense
Farmers League.
Farmers League, that's right. Mm-hmm. Now, when he does it for Barcelona, he's the greatest of all time. When he does it for PSG, that says nothing about those leagues. When he does it to MLS, it's like, see, MLS sucks. That's right. So we'll unpack that. But we are going to start, of course, with the huge news of the week for local soccer fans, Columbus fans. We are both living in Columbus, both big Columbus Crew fans. The Crew have parted ways with star leader of the team. I know he wasn't the captain, but you know, the face of the organization, essentially, your 2020 MLS MVP.
Number one in your hearts.
Yeah. And in all many other ways, too.
Yes.
Lucas Zelarayán, the legend, is out the door on his way to the Saudi League, which I saw this and I was not aware of this initially because a lot of the reaction has been, the Saudi money that's been pouring in. We've seen this with Kylian Mbappe's alleged offer that he got to go to that same league. We know Cristiano Ronaldo got a boatload of money. Lionel Messi.
Conte, Karim Benzema.
Messi was offered a boatload of money, turned it down, came here for a boatload of money instead. Yeah. But all these players have been offered this money, right? So interesting to note, I guess this team that Zelarayán went to.
Al-Fateh?
I think that's right. Al-Fateh, I believe, is correct. They are not, I guess they're not funded by the
PIF?
Public. They're not funded by the PIF.
PIF?
Public
investment fund,
yes, not funded, I guess, technically by a Saudi royal family. So unlike, say, Manchester City or Newcastle, where there's been some money that comes in where it is like a royal family involved, that's not this club. Doesn't mean though that there's not still oil money involved in that league. I'm quite sure many of the owners of teams in that league are invested in that in some way, shape or form. But just to clarify, it is not technically the PIF that's involved with that purchase, but still, Lucas Zelarayán, from all reports, is going to get quite a hefty pay upgrade from what he is getting here.
How did you react on Monday when you found out about the news? Because this, I mean, I'll be honest with you, we were at a cookout over the weekend, and our good friend the Murph Dog, he was there, Pat Murphy. He was there, and we were kind of joking around. I'm like, I mean, Pat, you know, it's going to be just a matter of time before Lucas heads to Saudi Arabia, right? And we both just kind of scoffed at it, and we were like, the rumors that are going around, and they're just rumors. And then fast forward a couple of days, like when this news is starting to break and the cycle is continuing and starting to spin on this, I immediately texted him and was like, hey, jerk, you told me that I shouldn't be worried about this. And in the meantime, I'm like, I was telling myself I shouldn't be worried about this and think X, Y, and Z, but it was such a surreal feeling on Monday when this came down, because again, you compartmentalize this thing, a few hours later you're getting ready to take on Club America, bringing in one of the biggest clubs in North America to lower.com field for a Leagues Cup game. And so everybody was excited about that, them coming into town. It was going to be a great atmosphere. Lucas was going to be on full display. And then 3 hours before kickoff, it's like, no, he's not.
No,
he's not. He's being sold. It was such a weird day of ebbs and flows. And when I first read the news, I'm like, that's not true. That's not going to happen. And then I saw multiple reports. I'm like, now my heart is tattered and basically broken into 50,000 pieces.
Yeah. So I forget who the Twitter user was. Because I was on the air and I saw someone in my mentions said, because I'm checking my mentions throughout the show just to see if there's anything. Usually people hit us up with different ideas or hey, you got this wrong, dopes, or, whatever. So I just check them from time to time. And I saw that someone was like, Zelarayán? Say it ain't so. And I'm like, what happened? I thought he got hurt or something. I didn't know what happened. Because I'm like, well, they're getting ready to play a game. How could he have gotten hurt? What would he even? And so I go and I start looking, and it was like what I saw, it was just crew announcement, like, thanks to our guy. We love
you. Oh, so you caught it like on like the half hour back end.
Yeah, I saw it after it was like, here we go. It's done. And the crew are like openly acknowledging this dude's not playing for us anymore.
I saw it from Adam Jardy, who said Mike Arace was like, hey, Lucas Elarón is being sold. Like, that's how I first saw it.
I didn't see any of that.
And then 25 minutes later, it was like confirmed by the crew.
Nope.
So there was a weird 25 minute period where I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And so obviously my emotions Monday are different than my emotions now, given the news that we will get into, of course. You know, we know also that the crew have now tried to replace him, or at least, you know, add to the attack that's now been depleted. They've gone and got reinforcements instantly, and I have thoughts on all that. But I guess to go back to the Lucas point, so on Monday I was pretty pissed, mm-hmm. as I think most crew fans were. I was, you know, like you said, that Club America game, I know it's Leagues Cup, Nations Cup, Leagues Cup,
Leagues
whatever.
Cup.
I'm so confused. Yeah. Leagues Cup is what it's called. But that, it's not a tournament that I necessarily care a great deal about since it's just started. But Club America coming in, that's the reason you're doing these type of tournaments. That's the reason this tournament exists.
It's a BFD.
You want to merge teams from Mexico with teams from the U.S. I've heard people speculate that maybe this is a test run for eventually just merging these two leagues and having there be a pro rel system within U.S. and Mexico, basically, where you merge these two leagues and now that's your promotion relegation. I don't think I'm ready. I don't think that's happening necessarily, but it's an interesting concept. Still, Club America, to your point, when you said it's the biggest club, it might be the biggest club in this hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
From the stand, not, I mean, I know Boca Juniors fans have something to say about that, Corinthians fans have something to say about that, on and on and on. This is a team that when you look at the numbers, no one in the Western Hemisphere has drawn more fans to watch their games over the last 5 years than them. Just statistic, hard numbers. I know they play in Estadio Azteca, so they have obviously one of the biggest venues to fill up, but they fill it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are as big as it gets in the brand of soccer. So Club America coming into play against you in your stadium is a huge deal. And I wasn't able to attend this, but I was, you know, I was happy for all the crew fans that got to go. And I thought, man, it's such a cool moment. And that's what really jarred me about it is that's what you want to see is Lucas Elarón going up against Club America. I know he played in Mexico and we could have watched that, but we didn't know much about him back then. We didn't know we would be connected to him in the way we are now. So those are the types of guys you want to see go and play in those moments. And then to find out the face of your club, one of the faces of your club, is being dealt. And again, it wasn't like, well, turns out Manchester United finally got wise and figured out, you know what I mean? Or was it like, oh, man, look at this. Or he's going to Argentina, where I know he is technically of Armenian descent, but grew up in Argentina. That would make sense, too. Going to the Saudi League, it just feels like not only is he leaving, he's going to the upstart league that everyone says might usurp MLS in world soccer.
Might usurp everything.
Yeah, I mean, because they're just buying all these dudes for ridiculous amounts. I think it felt gut punch on a lot of levels for a lot of crew fans. So, yeah, I was gutted. It was short of the news that Grant Wall famously tweeted out. Yeah. Short of that, it was like the next level after that of shock.
It was just, like I said, it was such a weird feeling, like reading these reports. And then, too, like you fast forward to the game and they do the curtain call for him. And you could see, like, I mean, he was pretty emotional.
Yes.
About leaving the club. And I know that he can't make that, like, they can't make this move without a new contract that he's going to sign. So, like, I mean, he was privy to the information. But again, I mean, it goes back to, like, how often can you turn down this life-changing money? But, I mean, we have been talking about for years and years and years. And especially, too, like, I know you don't follow much golf, but, like, I have on, like, the Live Tour, right?
Oh, yeah. No, like, I know all about that.
I knew that.
That
had been coming down the pipe, and I'm like, oh, we'll see if this is going to be a big thing. And, like, it was a great shakeup, like, in the game of golf. And now you're, you know, continuing to see, like, the PIF fund and everything involved in the Saudi Pro League and, like, how it's kind of taking over the game. But you never thought that it was going to happen to your guy. Like,
no.
You never thought it was going to happen to your team right here. Like, maybe if you're a fan of a Real Madrid or a PSG or Manchester United or, like, one of the Premier League teams, like, you understand that this could be a threat. But never did you in a million years think one of these teams would come and poach away one of your guys. And that's why I think there's such a big difference. Like, if he were leaving to go to our good friends over at, like, Lyle, right? Like,
right.
Or somewhere like Syria, you'd be like, okay, thank you for your service. Congratulations, like, on the move. But bottom line, though, you were like, Why us?
Yes.
Why us?
It is like, to your point, and again, I like, because I was having this question, Mike, my co-host, Common Man, had asked me on the air. He's like, is this like Brian McBride when he left? And for those who weren't around when that happened, I mean, Brian McBride was the first pick of MLS ever. Like, the first player, basically, that was drafted into MLS. He was the number one pick. Crew got him. And, you know, talented, ridiculous player in college. Everybody knew this guy was great. He comes in and is the face of this team, scores ridiculous goals for the Crew. Everyone loved him. The town was, like, on fire because mm-hmm. of Brian McBride, how good he was. So then, I think it was 2004-ish, he goes out the door to sign with Fulham. And, spoiler alert, they have a bar in Fulham's stadium called McBride's, mm-hmm. named after him because he was so impactful there and people loved him. He was a fan favorite. He went on to a great career in England. But at the time, it was a big point of pride here in Columbus. The Dispatch ran that article top of the fold, front page, not sports page, front page news. McBride leaves, goes to Fulham. Big deal, because that was how much he meant to this city. But in ways, it was like, there goes our guy. You know, it's like if you've seen it, if you're an OSU fan, if you see, you know, an OSU player go number one in the draft.
Yeah.
It's wow, look, there's our guy. There's this dude.
Going on to the next level.
Yeah. This still does not, this feels like, and I don't besmirch him at all for this, or begrudge him, besmirch, whatever the word is. I don't begrudge him at all for going and getting the money. By all reports, it was probably double or triple what he was going to make here. And if you're going to get that for a couple more years, you're 31 years old, mm-hmm. that sets you up for the rest of your life. He's already set up for the rest of his life, but this puts you in a different league of
different
that
setupness.
Yeah, this puts you in a different place. And so I don't blame him for wanting to get the money. What I guess I'm frustrated by is that it's not to go to a better league per se.
Yeah.
It's to go to this place where we all have seen it's just a gigantic cash grab. And I know people over in Europe could easily look at Messi the same way, coming to MLS.
Oh, of course.
Right? I'm sure they feel very much the same way about that. But I guess that's where I am as a Crew fan. It's tough.
Would you feel better if he was sold to like a La Liga or Serie A team?
In the grand scheme of things, it would be more like, well, yeah, we thought this dude was good, and he is, and look who recognized it.
Yeah.
And obviously, 31-year-old, none of those leagues are buying a player 31 and bringing him in, typically. I think the other part of it, the bigger part of that is what he meant to this community, what he meant to the team, what he meant to the fans. That's a connection that you don't build just because you're good. It's a connection you build because you're good and you care.
And even what the city meant to him. And again, like in this curtain call, you could see.
This is a guy who won you an MLS Cup, essentially. I mean, Aiden Morris had a great game in that, right? I mean, Darlington Nabi was very clutch in that season. And obviously, there were lots of Artur and tons of guys who were big in that season. But Lucas El Rayon was the MVP of a team that won you your most recent.
Has been your team MVP the last three and a half years.
I mean, right. He's been the driving force. So that's where it's also a gut punch. In the midst of a season, not in winter transfer where you're out of season, you think this could happen, builds up. It's just, hey, we're in the middle of this season. Guess what? See ya. Best player on the team. One of. So we'll unpack this a little bit more. We'll talk about now the move that has come after that to solve that issue. Where does Diego Rossi fit into this team? What does this look like with the new Crew going forward? We'll discuss all that when we get back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
Beam United.
So unpacking the week that was for the Columbus Crew.
Busy
week. You have a star player, face of the franchise, transferred out. Then you play Club America a few hours after that with the emotional goodbye. We haven't even talked about how that game went. Beamer, they smashed Club America into little tiny bits. It wasn't even, that second half was just a race to how many goals can we score? How much fun can we have?
It was pretty awesome, too, because, I mean, you scored the equalizer right before half, so you got back to even footing. And then Club America's, like, pushing like hell, and they have, like, four or five really good scoring opportunities. Couldn't get themselves to two. Crew, classic counterattack. And then all of a sudden, like, boom, you get two, and then we get three, and then we get four, like, immediately, quickly after. Yeah, just the whole day, it was such a roller coaster ride. And, like, when they went down 1-0, I was like, might not be in the best situation. And then you just run absolutely rampant over them.
If you were to
give me, like, before that game started, like, how are you predicting this is going to go? Bad. It's going to go very bad. You just lost the heart and soul of your team. He's going to be out there. He's emotional. All those players are probably distraught. Enough where Cucho Hernandez on Twitter was like raving about Lucas and what he meant to the club and what he meant to him. And, you know, as a brother on the field, like, as it's a different story for a different day. And then you just destroy Club America.
Oh, just obliterated him. And what was fun for me to see that in that moment was like, That whole thing with Cucho Hernandez, because this is to me kind of the story of this Lucas El Rayon thing a little bit, right? Cucho Hernandez signed up in part, I know that it's not guaranteed, signed up in part to play alongside Lucas El Rayon. He was familiar with Lucas El Rayon. They probably pitched him on, this is the guy you're going to get to be alongside. That guy leaves. I mean, the famous celebration they do, right?
God, like, how heartbroken were you when he went and did it and it was...
It was just empty. It was only half the formation, right? And he goes, and so again, if you didn't see this, Cucho scores a goal right before halftime, goes to the sideline where Lucas is watching from a suite and points up to him. The team's pointing up to him, and then he does the celebration minus his running mate, essentially, on this team. But I think that was kind of, I don't want to put too much on every little moment in a soccer game, right? But the emotions of that moment, I think that was a little bit of cleansing for the team. And for the fans, I mean, it was in the moment, it was sad. It was bittersweet, right? But you saw that, yes, we can still score without Lucas El Rayon. Everyone's aware that he's not there. No one is, like, disavowing that this guy is important.
Sure.
But now we got a goal to tie this thing up. And again, I know it's League's Cup, but it meant something. And then they come out in the second half and don't just go, all right, well, we lost our guy and now we're all going to suck our thumbs and, you know, get on blogs and complain about how much this sucks. Instead, everybody got out there and got after it. And like you said, second half ran roughshod over Club America. One of the best additions. The Crew have made a lot of additions this summer.
I know exactly who you're
They have been very active. And Tim Bezbachenko clearly he's working on something here. Julian Gressel to me, dude.
I giggled when he...
First cross he had in that didn't actually end up getting scored on, but it was just right wing, comes up top or corner of the 18 and just swerved in a ball that was not like he had a big wind up to it. It was just kind of like he's dribbling along and then flip, like right in.
It was dropped from like heaven.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And so to see him already get on the board with an assist later in the game, he got that. This is one of those guys, and we talk about these guys all the time. You know, another guy who is this is Christian Ramirez. These are guys who know how to play in MLS, who know how to make things work, especially offensively. You need those in defense, too. You need guys who can play in this league.
I give Bez a lot of credit for the Christian Ramirez thing, because when I heard about the signing, I'm like, what's that bringing to you?
I was the exact same.
Yeah.
Bringing him back from Aberdeen or whatever, who cares? I know he played in the league, but what's that? And I was dead wrong on that.
Same.
Dead wrong. Did not think he was he is truly...
We're not too proud to eat our words here on the show.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, you have... I'm thinking formationally what this looks like now. Because, so, Diego Rossi comes in. Guy who played for LAFC, scored bag loads of goals for them. Was in a shortened COVID year. Was MLS Golden Boot winner, for whatever that's worth.
Is back MVP.
Young
player of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a dude who's, 25, I think? Going to be 26 next year. So, like, you're getting a guy who basically... Lucas, I think, when he came here, was 26 or 27. 26, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting a guy who's essentially about the same age as when Lucas signed up to replace Lucas, who scores at a similar... I shouldn't say scores. Produces goals at a similar rate.
Yeah.
Because Lucas does not score probably as many goals as Rossi does. But... You are going, obviously, Lucas can assist and drive the offense a little bit more. That's what I find to be very interesting. There is something to this with Wilfried Nancy formationally, looking around and saying, Lucas El Rayon is a 10 and I need a 9.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or however you want to phrase it, or I need a 7 or what. I mean, again, my point being, like, Lucas is clearly, you cannot leave him off the field. But I wonder how much of this isn't driven a little bit by, yes, Saudi League had a big offer. Yeah, Lucas wanted to take it. But I wonder how much this wasn't driven by the Crew also saying, we have an opportunity to bring in a guy who can be our Lucas for the next 4 or 5 years, possibly. And they, look, it's the, I will say this about Tim Bezbachenko, because I was not high on this move on Monday. And I reached out to a few people and I asked around, and everything I heard back was, just before you judge it, wait until the transfer window closes and see if they don't do something. And sounded like something was coming. So you're getting a guy who knows how, what did we just talk about? Guys who know how to score in this league? I don't care what he did in Turkey.
Sure.
Turkey's a different league. It's a whole different ballgame. We've seen guys who were studs go to Turkey and suck. We've seen dudes who were nobodies in whatever league they were in go to Turkey and become like the best player in the league.
Yeah.
So it's an odd league. There's that happens. In go to Italy, same thing.
They're both odd leagues. They all have their characteristics. No, I'm just saying,
you go to Italy, the same thing, right? Guys who can't get it done anywhere else go to Italy and they thrive and they, you know, suck everywhere, whatever. They suck in Italy and they go elsewhere and they're great. I'm just saying, this dude knows how to play in MLS. Yep. That's where he plays now. And I'm excited to have him.
Were you a little bit angsty? Because I was when they came out and said, like, we've transferred Lucas and we don't know what the fee is. I don't know what that fee is. I don't know. I mean, I've read some people on Twitter and I don't, again, have any idea. I've heard anywhere from like 7 million to 10 million to 12 million.
I don't think it was that high because I don't remember what the fee was for Zach, but I don't think it was double digits. When Zach Steffen got transferred, I don't think it reached
it was
double
nine,
digits.
I think,
okay, was it nine?
For City.
I don't believe it was higher than Zach Steffen's fee to go to Manchester City.
It's a little bit more of a gut punch.
Yes, but here's what I figure. Again, this is where I'm wondering. I'd love to know how this all worked out. If everybody had truth serum and would tell us. I'd love to know if it wasn't like, hey, if we get a fee over this, we can transfer. Who can we, like, we can get Diego Rossi.
We need to
Rossi.
Make sure that thing Z is done before thing X is done.
I'll tell you this, when Wilfried Nancy came in, I'm guessing Bez and him and the technical staff and everybody, scouts, all sat down and said, guys who are coming out of contract, guys who will be available, guys who aren't doing their thing maybe in Europe that you would want back in MLS if you could get them, name some guys. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Diego Rossi's name came up. So I'm not saying they did this like, we got to get Lucas out. I'm saying, I wonder how much of it was, this offer came in, oh crap, Lucas wants to do it. We have 3 days. What do we do? Just so happens.
Oh, you know what? We have a list.
Or was it more of, we need to figure out our plan for after Lucas El Orellan? Well, that might involve summer transfer this year. Well, does he really fit what we want to do anyway in the middle of the field? I'm not saying, again, that sounds horrible. That sounds cynical. You know what it also is? It's the business of soccer.
It's the business of sport.
Yeah. And I'm a fan. I'm not in the business of, I mean, we make money doing this, but I'm saying like.
Do we?
Doing the radio. I don't know. This we don't get anything. It's fine. It's a labor of love. Whatever. I'm just saying, like, we're in the business of sport. We talk sports all day.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan. I fall in love with the players and the storylines and the team and the romance of all that. I don't look at a spreadsheet and go, who do I need to be able to move out so I can move the next guy in?
Not Jonah Hill for Moneyball.
Right. You look at the transfers that they've done this window, Beam. I mean, you've essentially remade the roster in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you have.
And now you've got a team that I'm guessing Wilfried Nancy had everything to say about who was coming in. He wasn't sitting there going, I don't like any of these guys. What are we doing?
Yeah, Camacho Macho Man coming in from Montreal.
Right.
Julian Gressel.
He got his main defender, one of his main defenders from Montreal to come in and help shore up the defense. That's a thing you need. You got Trebeko from Ukraine coming in. That's a guy who's obviously been around the world playing soccer. Now, we'll see if he's any good, but I'm just saying they've remade this roster. Yeah. They've moved guys out and moved their guys in. And the biggest kind of capstone to that is a guy who was a former Golden Boot winner who's won MLS Cups and has, in the time he was in the league, created the same amount of goals as Lucas El Orellan between assists and scoring. He played next to Carlos Vela. That's the part of this equation. But
also be playing next to Cucho.
Playing Cucho Hernandez. Cucho Hernandez good?
Yeah.
If we believe in Cucho Hernandez being a good player, then I think this is something that we can get behind. And I think this offense is going to look different. The approach is going to be different. But you still have a very interesting attack. I cannot wait for August 20th. That's what I'm telling you. That is hell is real. I want to see what...
Without Wilfried Nancy.
I know. But what is he going to do? Like, not tell him what to do before the game?
You're right.
Like, I'm just saying, they got videos and spreadsheets and numbers and tablets that show you where he wants you. I mean, it's up to these guys, but that's going to be a big test. But I am very much looking forward to seeing what that team does. That's a big measuring stick to start off once you get out of League's Cup. But before that, we don't know. We're recording this if you're listening on Saturday. We're recording this before the Minnesota League Cup game on Friday night, so we have no idea what the result was.
They could have lost 5-0.
Yeah, and this is on. You're all like, oh, my gosh, why are you guys talking about this? But here's what as of when we recorded this, the future is interesting, to say the least. So we'll leave it at that. Not interesting as much is this women's national team. Well, it's interesting. It's not good interesting. We'll discuss what's going on there and what they need to do this weekend against Sweden when we get back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can, of course, tweet the show. Your thoughts on Diego Rossi coming in, Lucas El Rayon transferring out. Crew fans love to hear from you at Bone Beam United on Twitter. It's a weird feeling for sure, and we'll keep processing it as we go.
I would have much rather this happen. And again, maybe Diego Rossi comes in and he scores 30 goals. Make up a number.
Who knows,
just
right?
Make up a number.
He's Erling Haaland of MLS.
Yeah,
sure.
And I would just rather preferred this move happen in January.
I
understand that like time constraints sometimes happen, and maybe this deal wouldn't be there, and you would get a lot less money if you waited until January, but you're 4 points right now out of the top three seed in the East. I would have much rather preferred to see this move happen in the January window compared to right now when you're going through a playoff.
Yeah.
But that's
agreed.
That's just me.
I will add to that the last little silver lining to this. You don't usually, when there's a winter transfer window in MLS, obviously summer transfer window for all the other leagues, that's where you don't get to say goodbye to your favorite player.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was kind of last second, but there were a lot of Crew fans who actually got to like show their appreciation for him, and knowing this is the last time, at least until the next time he's back in the States, that he's going to be in lower.com.
Testimonial guy, 1,000%.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I'd sign up this club right now to come over and play next summer in a friendly. Let's do it. Alpha Tay?
Yeah.
Come on down. Let's play. Bring him here. We love it. I don't care. Bring him in. I'll be rooting for them to lose, but bring Lucas in to have a moment where he can just come out, trot out for 20 minutes on the field. You know, everybody leaves happy, play all the backups.
Score a nasty free kick against us. Give us
absolutely
that feeling.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll move the goalie and just say, just have it. Just go ahead.
Just invite him to Leafs Cup.
Yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact.
Bring him over.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. So anyway, that's now there's that. I wanted to spend more time, and we need to spend more time on the women's national team. Probably could have done the whole podcast on this. Here's the thing. We could have spent a whole lot of time on how badly it is off the rails right now for this women's national team. And I know there are people who get frustrated when you say that and go, but guys, they're the women's national team. They've been so good. All they need to do is snap into focus for one game.
You know how hard it is to do that?
It's incredibly difficult. And I'm frustrated in this way because as U.S. soccer fans, we are used to, of you know, the last 15, 20 years, you watch the men's team and you go, if you could get through the group stage, that'd be so cool. But, man, I hope to see some improvement. With the women, we're like, do I even need to watch these games until it gets to the, like, quarterfinals?
Do I need to really wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch a game against Portugal?
8-0. How about who misses those 8-0 games now? I sure do.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I miss those.
There is there's no tactical cohesion to what this team is doing. It feels like Vodko Andonovsky basically said, I know you're all great players. We are missing half of our midfield, basically. Becky Sauerbrunn, our captain, is out, right? So Lindsay Horn takes over. And she's doing fine in that regard. But I'm not seeing a lot of leadership other than her. And I'm not even seeing from her, like, the fight. You saw it in the Netherlands game for 10 minutes, and look what happened. They clicked into focus, and they looked like one of the best teams in the tournament.
Without that goal, they're out. I mean,
That? Without that. I mean, Vandendonk basically rescued the U.S. from oblivion tournament. Thank you. And she had her own game after that against Vietnam, if you didn't see. They kind of put it on them. 7-0? 7-1?
Yeah,
7-0. That's right. All I'm saying is this team is not at all. They look like Andonovsky basically said, I know you're all great. We don't really have a midfield anymore. So let's just go out and make individual magic happen. That's it.
Go out there
That's the plan.
Roll the ball out.
Yeah. You know how to defend. You know how to stay compact.
To their credit, their defense has been very good.
It's the only reason they're still in this tournament. It's the only reason they're alive.
No. The only reason they're alive and in this tournament is because of a post.
Yes. Although, to credit Alyssa Nair, goalkeeper for the U.S., she had it covered.
Yeah.
That's That's
yeah.
It's like, did it hit the post?
You know what?
I played the post.
As that ball left the Portuguese striker foot, I felt very confident that that ball was covered.
Yeah.
I did not have
that's a total
I did
goalkeeper.
Not have poo running down my leg at that
total
moment.
Goalkeeper. Like it was, I had it covered.
Yeah,
hit the
go.
Post. Good. I knew where I was. I was exactly in position. I used the post effectively. Exactly. Either way, I want to say this because I think we need to talk about up top. Alex Morgan is a tremendous player. I think it is time, and I don't know if Andonovsky, if Mike Pence is brave enough, if Andonovsky's brave enough, you've got to make a switch up top. And I'm not saying that you need to sit Alex Morgan down, but Sophia Smith should be at the top of this formation. If you're going to do this, have her be the center point of this. That's what she does when she plays for Portland. Mm-hmm. That's her game, and you've got her playing kind of off to the side,
yeah.
And it's not working, and everyone looks lost. And Alex Morgan is tremendous, but she is just a touch off, a step slow. Everybody's not really feeding her the way she's accustomed to getting those balls, for fairness. I mean, she's not getting the passes the way she usually does because the people who usually play those balls to her are all hurt. So I say now it's time to just say, we've got individual talent on this team. We've got young talent on this team. Let's change some things up. Let's go three in the back. Let's bring more into the midfield. Let's try to overpower Sweden's midfield, if nothing else, with numbers. There's got to be – you can't just sit there and go, no, we're going to do the same thing again and hope this
time
is
different. Well, no, because you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, you will deserve to get it kicked if you don't – dude, you don't have Rose Lavelle for this game.
Right.
She's got a yellow card accumulation.
By the way, and you can tell with her. You can tell with her that something is amiss.
Yeah.
Even though she's – I would argue that she's probably been playing the best.
Oh, yeah.
Out of anyone.
Yes.
And that would be a very strong argument of anyone in this tournament. But she barely played in that first game. She's been the best player in your last two games. But she's going to miss this game against Sweden. And you can tell, like, her connection with Alex Morgan is a little bit off, too. Ball short. She decides, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to run myself because I don't have the trust. And then the next ball, she plays 30 yards ahead of her. Like, it's just not to the point where you expect it to be.
Yeah. Portugal, to be fair to them, they were debutants in this World Cup. They played out of their minds good. Not just against the U.S. They played tough against who was the other team that we saw them play? Yeah, they played tough against the Netherlands. That wasn't dominant performance, but they held their own. They are not a pushover team. And it's fascinating because Portugal has, like, I was looking this up, they only have like 10,000 registered players of women's soccer in their country.
Yeah.
And they, I think, have like a handful of pro teams, not like a big league at all. And they showed up and actually stood toe-to-toe with the U.S. So credit where it's due there. But also the women's national team, I don't care how good Portugal played, you have better talent, you have a deeper bench. And at least Andonovsky did go to the bench in this game and tried to do something, but he's just tone-deaf, man.
Comes out after
the game and says, it's insane that anyone wants to criticize us. No, it's not. No, it's actually not insane at all. You are dropping the ball here.
You're very open to criticism at this point.
You have to be. And I'm surprised that he's more upset with everyone else outside of the team than with his own team's performance.
Yeah.
And maybe inside the locker room, he is just tearing the paint off the walls. But there needs to be some fire from this team somewhere. Someone's got to get lit up and start playing.
I'll tell you who lit him up. It's Carly Lloyd.
Well, you know what? Let's take a break and let's talk about Carly Lloyd because she had some thoughts and I think we should at least address those and get into it and then, see if we have time for other things. Women's national team deserves a lot more discussion, so we'll get into that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
I've just seen the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Frustrated soccer fans, of course, all trying to think about what to do with the women's national team. We are trying to sort it out ourselves.
Hopefully they'll listen. The good news, if there's any good news that has come from this, is that you are still in the tournament with a chance to win.
Right. I mean, it's not much, but it's something. This is a tournament that we were all hoping this was a, you know, finals bound. Can they win three in a row? No World Cup team has ever done that, men's or women's. No one's ever won three World Cups in a row. And you see why. It's hard to keep that. That's a 12-year span, right? Start to finish with those three World Cups that you know, from the starting process to the end where you build these teams up. I mean, that's a long period of time to keep your best players at the height of their game.
Now, I also wasn't celebrating on early morning hours on Tuesday morning like they had just won the World Cup.
No.
I was,
no.
I don't, maybe in the Bone household.
No, no.
You and your family were celebrating like you had just won the World Cup by getting into the round of 16. I don't know.
I was making sure that those heart palpitations were just a little adrenaline and not something worse. I was looking on WebMD of
why is my left shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. It was getting a little nerve wracking, but this Carly Lloyd right after the game, you know, I want to say this. Obviously, we had Carly Lloyd on. You should go listen to that episode if you didn't. She was much more generous at the time with the women's national team than I'm sure she would be now if we talked to her about it.
But even then, in that, like talking to her, you could hear the like I'm a little tepid about.
Yeah, she was. She was not as confident, I don't think, as maybe I expected her to be. And I know some people have attributed that to, oh, get off my lawn, kids these days, I don't play anymore, now I'm going to rip everybody. Maybe.
Although I will say it's kind of refreshing to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Like, it. What?
Because there's a lot of former players that come out and be like, everything's fine.
Yes.
Like, these are my teammates, I can't really criticize them. Like, I give her a lot of credit for going out and saying what the mostly everybody was saying after that
game. Well, right. And I feel like that's something where if you sat down, Michael Jordan didn't exactly come off great after the Last Dance.
Yep.
Remember people said, like, this guy's kind of a petty SOB who thinks he's better than everybody. Yeah, he does. He's arrogant. Kobe was a psychopath, arrogant, crazy, like, the work ethic. He would scream at guys. Like, when you are one of the best players, Tom Brady is weird. Do we not get that? Like
Cristiano Ronaldo, picture of sanity.
Sure. Lionel Messi gives headphones to his guys on Inter Miami, but by and large, all these guys are... Everybody who's at that level, being one of the greatest to do it ever, they are built a little different. And I'm not saying that that means you have to be a complete jerk, but it also doesn't mean that you or I or the average person is going to relate as well to that. When you're expected to be great and you deliver, you figure out ways in your own head to get there. You see then other people that you know have more in them. They're not getting it done. She's played with a lot of the people on this team. Not all of them. Obviously, there's some young talent she didn't play with, Carly Lloyd. But right after the game, after that performance, she was feeling the emotions that a lot of U.S. soccer fans were feeling, and she was frustrated, and she vented those frustrations. And as she's venting about the game itself, they cut live to video of the players dancing and smiling and taking photos. And again, I get it. You're taking the photos with family and fans.
And that's what she even said. She's like, and... You should do that. They've come a long way, and they're supporting you. You should definitely do that.
But what do we always say, Beam? Because I feel like this is a thing that's gotten lost. I saw a lot of the criticism, the reaction to what Carly Lloyd said, which essentially is get in the locker room and be miserable and figure this out. It was don't be dancing out on the field. You didn't do anything. Like, don't celebrate this. Get in there and figure it out, essentially, is what I took from the way she was saying all that. She didn't like the dancing. She didn't like the vibe of the team. But you've seen this where guy loses a big game or guy has a bad game where they win and he's walking off the field, walking off the court. A fan gets a photo of him and it'll go viral because it'll be some star player and the kid or the person is like, hey, hey. And the player's like, get me the hell out of here. Like, player just looks miserable. Yeah. And if it's a good player who scored like 25 points but just didn't have his best performance like in a basketball game, people will say, oh, look how locked in this dude is, man. This guy just, he's still mad. He could have done better and he knows it, man. That guy just, he lives, eats and breathes it. That's essentially where I put Carly Lloyd. Yeah. Was like, yeah, it's off balance. She should be able to look at bigger picture. She's looking in the moment saying they're not going to win next game if they play like this.
If anybody in the world is able to say the things that she said, it is Carly freaking Lloyd. She has done that.
What would you know about it? She would know about it. She was very much know about
you
it.
You and I are idiots.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. You and I also do this for a job. Carly Lloyd has been in that locker room. She has hoist World Cups before. She has been the player of the year. She has been the player of the tournament. She could say whatever she likes.
Yeah. No, it's hilarious that they've, and again, hilarious/sad. Go watch the Barbie movie if you haven't. It'll explain a lot of this. But it's hilarious that they put Carly Lloyd and Alexi Lawless with the same weight of their words. They equate the two of them where it's like, Carly Lloyd's been a player of the year. Alexi Lawless was on a team that was just like, it was cool that they existed. And the U.S. national team was like, hey, we host the World Cup. And he had a red goatee and he plays like Grateful Dead music or whatever. Yay. They're not the same. So when Carly Lloyd criticizes women's team, I'll hear that more than I'll hear from Alexi Lawless. But also, Alexi Lawless has no criticism other than whatever Carly Lloyd basically says. And he's like, yeah, I same thing. Like, he just has no opinions.
Now, to be fair to Alexi, I would also be scared if Carly Lloyd was, like, laying waste to the team. I'm like, yeah,
I'm just
right.
saying,
yeah,
it's
I'm
almost like maybe you don't need him on the desk for this because maybe Carly Lloyd knows a thing or two about it more than he does. Whatever. So, what's next for the women's national team?
Sweden, 5 a.m. Sunday.
Top three team in the world. That's what's next for the for the U.S. national
team.
You're
the top one team in the
world. Not right now. They're not. Not in this tournament. They're not.
Hey, if there's any good news, like I said, you're still in this tournament, and we saw, what was that?
Brazil's gone. Germany's
gone. Germany's gone. Italy's gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. They're all dead. If there's any good news, is that we saw this from France in the Men's World Cup last year. What did I say all the way throughout the group stage? They can click at any time. They sure aren't clicking. Like, they got through. They didn't click until the final 30 minutes of the final. And then you saw.
You are 100% right. To be fair, talent-wise, they are still one of the top teams in the world. They are not playing like it at all. So we're now at a point where they have to actually put it together for real. And Vlatko Andonovski has to actually do the job. You have to be a manager now, and you have to change formations, make hard decisions, maybe tell Alex Morgan, we're bringing you on as a super sub. I don't know. Something. You've got to figure it out. But if you don't figure it out on Sunday at 5 a.m., you're going to get found out. That's it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.